John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. When Hillary Clinton collapsed at a 9/11 observance last week, her walking pneumonia made headlines and called her entire health history into question, rightly or wrongly. But it wasn't wasn't she just doing what most of us have done at some point, going to work when we're sick? That's something pretty much every working American has done at least once, perhaps even more often. In some cases, it's a cultural thing. More often than not, however, it's because of a lack of paid sick leave. As Hillary Clinton returns to the campaign trail after her bout with pneumonia, she's made a point to talk about how many American workers don't have the luxury of having paid sick leave. Other countries handle this issue differently, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today on the Kathleen Dunn Show. My guest is Dr. Lee Derenier, a professor in the School of Social Work at Florida Atlantic University. Her area of research expertise is in healthcare policy, specifically mental health care service access for children. Her other area of research expertise is in analyzing family impact of having a child with a special health care need, specifically labor market participation and financial impact. Professor Derenier, welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show. Thanks for taking time to help us talk about this issue.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So, I mean, going to work sick is a profoundly American behavior. Why is that?
Well, it kind of depends on the class of worker that you are. And excuse me, I have been sick and I am working. So it's a very personal issue for most of us on a daily, if weekly basis. What happens, depending on what kind of job you have, either you can't afford to miss a day of work, so you work when you're sick. And that means, you know, most of the low-wage, hourly-wage paid workers will, instead of foregoing 8 hours of wages, will go ahead and work when they are ill. On the other end of the spectrum are people who are even in salaried positions. They feel irreplaceable, but no one else will do their job, or they fear they're putting their job at risk if they are not there doing it.
Well, goals have to be met. The clock and the calendar are both relentless taskmasters. Why do we valorize work and the ideal worker image at the expense of personal health and well-being, do you think?
Well, I think it's a very just core American belief that, you know, a good American is a hard worker. And so you put your 8 hours in every single day, and, you know, now we're kind of translating that into 10, 11, 12 hours. You're constantly available to your employer and to your employer at night and on the weekends. It's just our American work ethic to work. And so, you know, being sick is considered a weakness.
What do we know about the numbers? How many American workers regularly go to work when they're under the weather?
Well, that's not a statistic that we, you know, researchers would say is a good one, because people don't tell the truth. So, I mean, I think that what we really absolutely know is that only 68% of the civilian workforce has access to paid sick leave. So, you know, there are studies then that will ask about, you know, what's your usage in the previous 12 months? How many sick days have you taken? And sick take-up is actually pretty low. You know, people only miss a couple of days of work over the span of 12 months, even with benefits. So, you know, even when we have it, we don't take it, which I think goes right back to that. You know, it's the very core of our American work ethic is that we're, you know, we go to work. You know, there's some global research out there on the, you know, Western European countries who have access to really long leaves of people overusing it. So, you know, but we don't, in the United States, we just don't have that. People don't have that. You can't choose to take 10, 14 days off. No one does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's just unthinkable for most of us, and it might be financial, might be cultural, but that's just not how we roll here in the good old U.S. of A. And I don't want this to become a public service announcement, but why shouldn't we go to work sick?
Well, mostly, I mean, first and foremost, there are public health implications to doing that. So, you know, you're getting people around you sick. And certainly when we start to look at the service industry, you know, it becomes even more dire. So we can see examples over this past year where, like, Chipotle has realized that they are having these outbreaks of virus, and their workers didn't have access to paid sick leave, so you know they're showing up to work sick. They're rolling burritos when they have the flu. And that's a really bad idea. So, you know, it's bad for business, I think, is what we're starting to see. And Chipotle did answer, you know, part of their crisis with a new sick leave policy for all employees. So that was a good thing. So public health implication of getting other people ill. The second part is that, you know, you have the chance that your illness actually gets worse. So now we're kind of into the Hillary Clinton circumstances, right? If she could have taken care of herself earlier, you know, stayed home a couple of days, this may not have even led to pneumonia. So you kind of exacerbate illnesses that, if treated early, you know, wouldn't become such expensive and then lengthy absences from work. So that's in terms of healthcare expenditures too, at the national level, that's a big deal that we're turning. You know, things that could be taken care of or caught during well visits, preventative health care screenings, that you could end up with more serious chronic conditions that are more expensive to treat.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like the old oil filter commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. You take a couple of days off now and then you avoid ending up in the emergency room later in some cases.
Absolutely.
And right. Not to mention the fact, I would imagine that somebody who's sick, their productivity isn't going to be the greatest either.
Correct. Productivity is lower. That's an area of research we call presenteeism, which is when you're at work, but you're not at a normal productivity level. And mm-hmm. So, yes, that costs businesses a lot of money, for sure. I think, you know, it's maybe not quite as dire as what some of the public health implications are of getting the person next to you in a cubicle ill.
Right. Well, I mean, you might knock out five other people in your department and then no work gets done.
Absolutely. So we saw that during the 2009 H1N1 flu outbreak when the CDC recommended that people self-quarantine who have the flu. It was actually pretty long, 5 to 7 days of staying home. And after the fact, the research showed that they had roughly 7 million additional cases of the flu because people couldn't follow the self-quarantine guidelines because of a lack of paid sick days. Mm-hmm. And it ended up resulting in 1,500 more deaths from the H1N1 flu crisis. Mm.
Well, I know where I work, we have some pretty strict rules about not coming to work if you have the flu, and you can be severely admonished by your supervisor if you show up for work with the flu.
Well, that's
just
great.
Kind of a no-fly zone.
Right. Most low-wage workers, that's not a reality.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, too, because how much of this going to work sick comes from pressure from our bosses and upper management the widgets still have to get made?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, that is true. I think that, you know, the underlying fear of an American worker is that, you know, during an annual evaluation, you know, are they an employee that could be counted on, or are you seen as somebody who, you know, misses a lot of work? And we actually see that a lot more for caregivers. So women predominantly are still the caregivers of children and elderly parents. And so if you're the one missing work to care for other people too, you know, mm-hmm. it starts to translate into, you know, how much can you be counted on?
Well, will you play
the other people you work with?
Will you play hurt? I mean, it's an old sports metaphor. You know, which player will, I've got a bruise, I'm going to sit out today, and which ones tough it out and will play with a serious injury because, well, that's what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, you know, the caregiver issue is a whole other area. But when we're thinking about when kids wake up sick, you know, mm-hmm. who stays home to care for a kid who threw up in the middle of the night? So that sick leave, you know, is utilized not just for the care of the worker, but the care of the family members, too. And, you know, predominantly we're talking about young children, but, you know, also elderly parents, you know, if whatever caregiver role you play, you know, it's sick leave to care for them, too.
Well, and I wouldn't imagine that the daycare providers want to see parents drop off kids who are sick.
Correct, and schools don't want you to send kids who are sick. Now, you know, that industry of daycare workers has a very low rate of paid sick leave. So, you know, do we want our daycare workers showing up sick?
Right. Do we want anyone showing up sick? Seemingly, we say we don't, and yet here we are talking about this hour on the Kathleen Dunn Show, and I'm sure other people would like to join the conversation. I'll invite them now, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email. talk@WPR.org is the email address, talk@WPR.org. Or you can find the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page and leave your comment or question there. Again, the number 800-642-1234. We have a caller. I think this is an appropriate call, particularly since you just mentioned the Chipotle incident. Let's take that call from Michael in Appleton. Michael, welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm calling from the perspective of being a longtime food service employee. I've worked in the industry for on and off the last 8 years or so, and in my experience, it's nearly impossible to be able to call in sick or to do so without facing some sort of repercussions, either from your, you know, the business suffering, because it's really hard to get shifts covered because service industry restaurants don't have, you know, they have the number of people that they have. It's not easy to get a shift covered. So I think in my years of food service employment, I've only probably left work that I can think of one time because I was sick. So, from food service, I have lots of stories of coworkers working while sick and myself working because there's nobody to cover your shift.
So you're handling food, stuff that people are going to presumably eat, and you're sick. Does that bother anybody where you work, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, personally, if I feel ill, I try to avoid as much as I can contact with things that people are going to consume, try to wash my hands often, and I know that's fairly common or something similar. But, you know, it's just kind of just accepted that there aren't really very many other options. And, you know, different businesses have different cultures. Some places I've worked, it's a lot easier to be able to call in. I've had coworkers who can successfully call in, you know, have somebody cover their shift or have a manager cover for them. But other places, especially large corporate structured businesses, sort of chains and that kind of thing, managers very much look down on any attempt to call in sick or anything like that.
Leanne Durenier?
Yes. Well, he's absolutely right. In fact, the food preparation and serving related occupation has the lowest rate of paid sick leave at 19%. So only 19% of food service workers have access to paid sick days. So, yeah, I mean, it's really scary when you hear the stories, and, you know, it kind of makes you want to never eat out until everybody has access to some guaranteed, mandated sick day legislation. You know, we're all putting ourselves in harm's way every day.
Well, I don't think any of us want to think about the idea that someplace in the kitchen, in the back of the restaurant, somebody is sneezing on my entree. Michael, thanks so much for that call. I appreciate you sharing your story with us. What about the rest of you? Do you go to work when you're sick? Forget about food service, other occupations. What about when healthcare workers get sick? Do they have access to sick leave? What's been your experience? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're talking about going to work sick in America. We're going to take a short break on the Kathleen Dunn Show, and when we come back, my guest, Leanne Durenier, who's a professor of social work at Florida Atlantic University, will be along and answer some more of your questions. We'll continue our discussion. What about maternity leave? If you've had to take time off to have a baby, what was that like for you? What's your story? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. This is the Kathleen Dunn Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Kathleen Dunn Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Kathleen today and tomorrow. We're talking about sick leave. We go to work sick in America. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way the rest of the world does it. We're talking about that today on the Kathleen Dunn Show, wondering what you think. Have you gone to work sick? Does your company, whoever you work for, do you have access to sick leave? And if so, do you use it? We do know that some people who have sick leave still don't use it. It's kind of a cultural thing. Do you go to work sick? And if you have to work because you would lose pay, what does that mean for you? 800-642-1234. If you have a situation where children get sick, what do you do when you don't have sick leave and you have a sick child at home? You can't leave them in the daycare. You're not supposed to send them to school. What do you do then? 800-642-1234. My guess is Leanne Derenier, a professor of social work at Florida Atlantic University. We have a lot of callers, Professor, and let's take some of those calls now. Luke is with us in Madison. Luke, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
So I've worked in food service for about 10 years now, from anything from hotels, fine dining, fast food, catering, food preparation, cook, chef, all that, management. And the average crew person doing that type of job, they are either too poor or don't have access to sick leave in any sort. And if they do, if they can take days off, it's never going to be paid.
Luke, thanks for the call. Leanne?
Absolutely. That's the truth. That is the scenario of a low-wage worker cannot afford to take a sick day. Without some guarantee of paid sick leave, we're never going to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm. Back in my early days in radio as a program director at a radio station, I had a morning drive announcer who insisted on never missing a day of work, and I used to have to physically drag him out of the studio. He would come in sick, and I'd have to literally kick him out of the building, take his shift myself, because he just refused to leave. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. Some of this is cultural. Some people just don't like to miss work.
Definitely. Right, and during periods of recession, people are very fearful that their job is in jeopardy, maybe even when it isn't. So, you know, this idea that you just really cannot be the employee who can't be counted on always.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just don't take sick leave. And, you know, some of this, too, in terms of caregiving, you know, it's also been a sign of weakness to say that you're going to take care of a child, or that that you have to stay home to care for somebody, an elderly parent. I mean, we're just not talking about this in the workplace. Like, this is not a valuable thing to do. Being at work, yes. Taking care of other people, no.
Thanks for the call, Luke. Let's take another call. John is with us, this time from Princeton. John, hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm 64 years old, and I've worked in union jobs. I've worked for the state of Wisconsin as an aide at one point, and I've also been in with the trades for unions. So I've seen how their sick pays and daily pays and stuff like that went. But I've also worked on the outside in the non-union sectors, and my parents owned a restaurant and that. And I've seen a lot of people. In fact, it happened to me. I had to go to the hospital for 3 days, and I ended up losing my job because I couldn't come to work. And when I questioned them about it, they said, well, you couldn't be here. We had to have somebody here. And you're expendable. And I got my unemployment, but yet at the same point, you have no protection against losing your job. And when you don't have the money, you can't afford to take a day off. And I drive truck right now, so I can take days off when I'm sick. And I do. But there are some people that just will not.
John, thanks so much for that call. John just illustrated a point that you were just making, Leanne, about, there's this tremendous amount of insecurity, and in John's case, quite justified.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of workplaces have started a system where you basically earn a point, or almost like a demerit point, every time you're absent from work. And some set number can trigger either they're starting to, you know, let you be terminated from employment, or, you know, you're in some kind of situation where you're having to remedy the fact that you've missed too much work. And so, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a scary thing to think that taking care of yourself is seen as a negative by your employer. That can add up to you losing your job. And if you already are working at low wages, then, you know, you're definitely, you're not mm-hmm. going to do that. You're not going to set aside 8 hours of wages or put your job in jeopardy. He did make a good point. Union members have higher rates of paid sick leave access, some of the highest. So, you know, that's a more protected part of the labor market, just because they've bargained for that benefit together. So non-union jobs are much less likely to have paid sick leave benefits.
John, thanks for that call. Let's go to New Berlin, and Scott is with us next. Scott, hello. Welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Yes, hello. I'm an older professional worker, and I don't think I've ever had to use a sick day because I don't get sick. But but it's just a couple of points I wanted to throw out. If you're at home because your kids are sick, that's not really a sick day. That's either a vacation day or a personal day. Personally, in my opinion, you shouldn't be using a quote-unquote sick day because you're home because your kids are sick. That's a personal day or whatever. And the other thing I thought I'd throw out is some of the public sector unions have got some awful sweet deals, and they can, you know, they say they get 20 sick days a year and you only use two of them or something. You can carry those 18 over, and then you hear about people retiring and they get another 6 months worth of pay of all these quote-unquote unused sick days. And if you want to try to, if the, you know, the guests want to get that goal of trying to get this to everybody, you need to take abuses like that out of the system, and so that people aren't abusing the system. It's like, well, I didn't use up these sick days, so now pay them to me later. It's like, well, you get paid to work 365 days a year, not 376, because you have all these sick days that you didn't get paid. So just thought I'd throw out those couple of points for some discussion.
Okay. As far as the public sector is concerned, and there may be some variations between municipalities and things like that, I, as a public employee, I receive, I believe it is, 8 hours of sick leave per month, and it does accumulate, but you can't take it as a cash payment or anything like that. I couldn't say, well, I'm going to take 6 months off because I've accumulated sick leave. That's just not the case.
Right.
I don't know what it's like in other states. Mm-hmm. But to Scott's other points, what about, does it really matter if you take a vacation day or a sick day? You're still off of work.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I'll respond to both things, actually. Sick leave, it depends on your company. Because there's no federal sick leave law, then all sick leave benefits are left up to private corporations or public entities or whoever's setting the HR rules for your workplace. So there's a lot, there's just endless difference between your sick leave and my sick leave. So in some respects, a federal mandate of sick leave would set some parameters for everybody to operate in then. So, and I definitely don't think they would ever roll them over. I mean, this is the kind of thing where we would say everybody has a right to 5 days of sick time a year, or seven maybe. That would be kind of generous. And that's it. They don't roll over. You use them or you lose them. Now, the other part of that, if caring for a child, that's also up to the company. I mean, you can say that sick time can be used to care for yourself, a spouse, a child, an elderly person in your family. It's really up again to your HR of what's designated as sick leave. And the same thing has happened in the municipalities. We've got 5 states, 29 cities, and 1 county, plus Washington, D.C., who have passed their own sick leave legislation. And even among those, it varies of whether we're saying you can care for a sick child. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, we are seeing companies get away from this designation of sick days, vacation days, personal days, and they just call it personal leave. And you have a set total number of those personal leave days, and, you know, you figure out whether you're using them for vacation time or you're saving some in case you're sick or a child is ill. I personally feel like if you're taking care of a child who's sick, that's a sick day. You know, that's not me sitting by a pool on a Caribbean island. That's not a vacation day. That's a, you know, it's a small child who has to have care. You know, mm-hmm. you, and probably a parent's going to have to miss a day of work to do that.
Here's a comment from Lana on Facebook who says, I have in the past worked for a large corporation that gave every worker 10 sick days. However, if you used 3 days in 1 year, you were put on probation. At 5 days, you lost your job. So, you know, what's the point of having sick leave if you get fired for using it?
That's just craziness.
Lana, thanks for that comment. Let's take another call. Virgie is with us from Door County. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Hi. Thanks so much. It's a good program. Actually, my name's Virg.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have a small business, and I used to have employees. I'm a sole practitioner now. But when I had employees, what I realized is if they came into work sick, I would get sick. Everyone around us would get sick. And we were actually losing productivity. We were losing profitability by them being there. And so when my employees would come in to work sniffling and sneezing and hacking with a fever, I would send them home, and I implemented sick day pay for them. You know, and they could accumulate that over the course of the year. And actually, you know, my profitability went up. And I think a lot more employers need to realize that. We used to have sick days, sick pay for almost every company, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, production was probably up at that point. I'm not sure, you know, that's just my opinion, but
mm-hmm. Right.
I think if more employers realize that, you know, they're harming their own bottom line by not paying sick pay, that perhaps more would.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing companies keep lots of part-time employees around so that they won't have to provide benefits like sick leave. And so if you do that, then, you know, you really do have people who are, you know, hobbling together multiple part-time jobs with no possibility of recuperating if they become ill.
Virg, thanks so much for that call. Appreciate you participating today, and sorry I messed up your name. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Maria in Oconomowoc, you'll be our next caller. Maria, hello. How are you doing today?
Hi, good. I just wanted to comment that when my son was a teenager and living at home, he was very ill one day, and he worked in a restaurant, and he didn't care if he'd get paid or not. He just needed to stay home. He had a high fever, terrible cold symptoms, and they would not allow him to stay home, even though I called in for him and said how sick he was. He still either had to come to work or he had to go and get a doctor's excuse, and because it was a weekend, it would have been an urgent care $60 thing for, you know, so he was just out of luck either way. So they don't care much about their employees, and they don't care much about their customers, because he was a server. He would have been handling food all the time.
Mm. Maria, thanks for sharing your story with us. Again, Leanne, that echoes what a lot of callers have said. And again, this is a food service, probably a lower end of the wage scale type of job, not a lot of benefits. And as you point out, pretty tough to get shifts covered.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think the caller reminds me just of how sensitive it is when your children are sick and how you're trying to take care of them. And yet at the same time, you know, going to work and making sure you have enough money coming into the house to feed that child is also really important.
Mm-hmm.
So low-wage workers are just, you know, they're caught in a bind. And I think it's heartbreaking when you think about trying to take care of your, you know, young, sick child. There is some research that shows that kids recuperate quicker after hospitalization stays when their parents are the ones that are able to take care of them at home afterwards. So, you know, there's like real value there to moms and dads being available to their kids when they're sick.
And in this case, you know, here's a mom talking about a son old enough to go to work and have
right.
a job as a server in a restaurant, and wasn't able to, you know, either had to go to work or get a doctor's excuse.
Absolutely.
Maria, thanks for that call. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We had a caller who wanted to know how injuries and medical appointments fit into this equation. Is that sick time? And also, what about workman's comp? Well, that's a whole other area of law, too.
Yes, but I'm glad they asked about just, you know, like kind of well visit, because that is a whole new area that, you know, we're just starting to explore. But yes, you need time off of work to take care of your health in general. So not just when you're sick, but also all of that preventative care. So, you know, how do you get to those kind of annual checkup appointments that you need, and how do you get your kids there? And so, yes, there's just a real need for days off work or flexible work days where you could be gone for a couple of hours and come back.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more support for that so that we can all take care of our health.
A lot of clinics around the country are recognizing this by staying open later and opening earlier.
Mm-hmm.
My most recent annual physical took place at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I can say that, I made that appointment thinking, oh, there's a great idea. I can do that and go right to work. And then as I was trying to get myself out of bed early that morning, I thought maybe it was a less good idea.
Absolutely. And weekend hours,
right.
You know, more mobile clinic, especially for preventative healthcare issues. You know, what else can I have done at work? Get a flu shot, have my blood pressure checked. I mean, all of that, it really expands, you know, the potential for an employee to be able to take care of their health without missing a day of work and remaining productive on the job.
Jen in Monticello is with us next. Jen, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you. First of all, I don't work for Monticello Schools.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What
so
I'm going to say is about teachers.
All right. Well, with that disclaimer, go ahead and make your point.
When I first became a teacher, I was so sick. I mean, you get everything from those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had taken every day that I was really sick, like we're talking pneumonia, bronchitis, it's just easier to go in and teach. And the principals kind of do get kind of upset if you're out more than a day or so. But the thing is you have to earn those sick days, and it would be really nice to see, like, national sick days for everybody, and you get them the minute you get hired.
Right, and you need parents to be home with their sick kids so they're not coming in and getting you sick.
Right.
Yeah, so if everybody had it, absolutely. And, you know, so many times I can remember, even in my own family, a child wakes up with a fever, and my husband and I stare at each other across the coffee pot, and we're like, who is taking the day off? And or are we sending this kid to school and waiting for that nurse to send them back home? Like, how many hours of work could we get if we just went ahead and sent the kid to school sick? It's a terrible, terrible predicament. And, you know, this is saying nothing of people who work at low wages who can't afford to be gone for a day.
Absolutely. That conversation over the breakfast table, who's staying home with the sick child, is one that happens in a lot of households across the country, probably on a daily basis. Thanks so much for that call. You know what? We're at a break. I think we should take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more callers. I want to get into some of the issues around maternity, because that's also a really big issue. And then we've got some emails and some Facebook comments to get through. A lot of people interested in this topic. We're talking about sick leave, medical leave in America. We work when we're sick. Why is that? Is it cultural? Is it economic? What's the situation where you work? What's your experience been? 800-642-1234. My guest is Dr. Leanne Durenier, who is a professor of social work at Florida Atlantic University. We'll continue our discussion with her and with you in just a few moments. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of WPR. This hour, we're talking about how Americans stay home or don't stay home when they're sick. We go to work when we're sick. And what does that say about us as a country? Is this a policy question? Is this something we need to deal with? Is this a cultural issue? We've been talking about that with Dr. Leanne Durenier, professor of social work at Florida Atlantic University. 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org is the email address. And we have an email from Jerry Ann. We'll use that to launch this next segment of the program. Lack of sick leave, maternity leave, workers' low pay, loss of negotiating access, the shrinking of the middle class. Many of today's working class complaints can be traced to one thing, the decline and decimation of employee and trade unions. That is a consequence of electing corporate and business-friendly legislators and governors. Bring back unions and the living standard of workers will go up. I've never been a union member or held a job for which unions were an option, but I do believe in their value to the American economy. I guess the point is, how much of what we're seeing now is a policy issue, and how much of it is just because workers don't have anybody, there's no advocate in the workplace saying, you know what, if people are sick, they shouldn't be here, and we need to work out a benefit for that?
Well, I mean, I think this is a policy issue, and I actually feel pretty optimistic that we are heading towards a federal sick leave mandate. I really do.
Okay. Let's take another call. This time it'll be Max in Madison. Max, hello. Thanks for joining us on the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, John. So I've just got two quick stories, comments. One is my wife works for a large fast food franchise, and she recently took a new position where she went from corporate to franchise operated. And she was pregnant at the time, and she was told that she was giving up short-term disability for childbirth. And with this new position, they said they would take care of her. She continued to tell them as she got closer to the due date, you know, what's going to happen. 3 days before she gave labor, they informed us that they would not be doing any kind of benefit or anything. So what they did offer up was to contact Social Security for short-term disability, and she could take vacation leave. Well, the vacation leave, it was the beginning of the year, so they said she hadn't accrued enough, and she got 2 days of vacation. And then the Social Security or the disability was kind of a bust. Luckily, we're blessed financially, and you know we were able to make this work. But it'd be crushing if we weren't in that position. And you know we wanted to look into legal if we had any legal rights, and we couldn't find any answers, and we didn't get any return of phone calls. So that's my first comment, and then my second one's a lot quicker. She's in a management role. She's got a fantastic manager that's just gave birth. This girl, minimum wage, puts in 50 hours a week. She is able to take she's going to get to spend 1 week with her newborn before she has to go back to work financially, and it just makes my stomach crawl. To think of a new child, and she gets to spend 1 week with that child. It's disgusting.
Max, thanks for that story. A fairly common one. My own wife went to work 3 days after our second child was born. She was in a part-time position. We needed the money, and that was all the maternity leave she took. So I think Max's story probably more common than we'd like to think.
Yes, it really is. The only legislation that the United States has in terms of family leave is the Family and Medical Leave Act, which provides 12 weeks of unpaid but job-protected leave, but you have to have been employed at your employer for the previous 12 months, and you have to work at an employer who has at least 50 employees. So that leaves a whole bunch of people not covered. And certainly if you'd made any kind of job change within a year of having a child, then you're just out of luck. There is legislation, to kind of go back to my last comment about thinking this is a policy issue, there are two pieces of legislation that have been around and introduced since 2004 at the federal level, the Healthy Act and the Family Act. And both of those would put into place a paid sick leave benefit and a partially paid family leave for the birth or adoption of a child and an extended illness, and it would be partial pay for 6 weeks. But, yeah, we are lagging behind globally on these issues. It's just an embarrassment of how we compare to, you know, especially
let's talk about how other countries handle this. How else is this handled in the rest of the developed world?
Right. Well, I mean, if we're talking about sick leave, there are basically two ways you provide that. You either say employers, you mandate employers provide a set number of sick days. So, you know, if you, everybody has to provide 5 days, everybody has to provide 7 days, whatever it might be, it's the responsibility of the employers to fund those days. Or you set up some kind of social insurance plan that covers short-term illness. The United States hates expanding social welfare programs, so politically that's probably not very feasible to do. But it would be, it's the best way to get at universal coverage. So then if you then talk about paternity leave and maternity leave after the birth of a child, you know, most other countries that are similar economic development-wise to the U.S. provide up to a year of maternity leave and paternity leave for moms and dads, and that it depends on the country that we're talking about. But and some are, you know, even more generous than that. But yes, I mean we're just not providing anything. And the long-term effects of children, infants, not having their parents as their primary caregivers from, you know, 0 to 12 months is definitely being looked at by researchers. That bonding time, that attachment time is so very important for long-term, you know, lifetime emotional, behavioral, physical development that, you know, I think a lot of other big social issues that we're dealing with could be linked to this very thing about who's with the babies.
Of course, that doesn't fit with the narrative of current quarter thinking. I mean, it's about how much money you made this afternoon, and something that might be true 15, 20 years from now doesn't really matter.
True. Absolutely. I mean, and again, you know, this is just so different depending on whether you're talking about hourly wage workers or salaried workers.
800-642-1234. Max, thanks for your call. Let's go to Patrick next, who's calling us from Madison this afternoon. Patrick, welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. So I work for a nonprofit that assists workers here in Madison, Wisconsin, and we see workers on a regular basis who are either threatened or who are fired because they're sick. Workers in restaurants, workers in nursing homes, daycare centers, all the sorts of places where you absolutely don't want people coming to work sick. The only other thing I would mention is voters in Milwaukee did pass a paid sick leave ordinance, which you may have mentioned earlier, but that then got preempted by the current Republican administration. Chicago has just passed a paid sick leave, earned sick leave law. Both Minneapolis and St. Paul have passed paid sick leave laws. So it's really, I think, there's a battles going on at the municipal level, at the state level, and as your guest mentioned, at the federal level, to make this sort of a basic expectation. And, you know, instead of doing that here in our state, we're trying to beat Mississippi in terms of having the worst working conditions in the country, which is a really sad state of affairs for Wisconsin, which has such a great history of workers' rights legislation.
Right. Patrick, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Leanne?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yes, that he's absolutely right. The pushback has been at the state legislature level to pass state laws that say municipalities don't have a right to pass sick leave laws. So it is a battle. There is
and what's battle. What's the rationale for being opposed to having a law mandating sick leave?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I'm the best one to articulate that.
Well, maybe the Cliff's Notes version. I mean, what's the bottom line here? Is it because it's perceived as something that would be anti-competitive, like
yes,
a tax increase, that
absolutely
kind of thing?
Yes. It's telling businesses what to do. It's, yes, it's, a, you know, it's extra regulation, concern about profits. You know, everybody feels like it will put small businesses out of business if they have.
In other words, it's the same argument that's made against the minimum wage increase.
Absolutely. And what we have seen is in a lot of those ordinances that have passed for paid sick leave, if you're an employer with less than, you know, let's say 15 employees, then the leave is unpaid. You still have a right to sick days, but they don't have to be paid. So that's kind of the way, you know, people who are advocating it at the ordinance level are trying to say, okay, well, we don't want to kill small businesses either, but you've got to let workers be able to stay home from work. Fine, you don't have to pay them, but you know they should have their job protected.
Patrick, thanks for the call. Let's go to Casey in Menominee next. Casey, hello. How are you doing? You're on the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Great, thanks. I'm listening to this program. I'm hearing story after story in various industries about workers not being able to call in. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, what's the solution? And it's clear to me that, you know, workers' rights are the solution. Now, we heard from one caller that said, to the employer and said, I gave my employee sick leave, but unfortunately that is not the norm. And she found that her bottom line was boosted by giving that sick leave. So financially, she found that that was a good thing to do. But for us workers to wait around for employees to give us those, affording us to stay home and things like that is not going to happen. So really, it makes just common sense to me to band together for the rights of the worker. And why that is hard here in Wisconsin is we have a governor who is on a video saying that, yes, we will be a right-to-work state. I'm going to divide and conquer my workforce, and we will get to that right-to-work. And then we had another caller here talking about a little bit of an overinflated view of unions, saying that we have so many work sick days and we get paid for them, you know, in lieu of 6 months we get paid for it. But that is a really great example of this divide and conquer thing that's been set up in Wisconsin, because now we have this one caller calling in and saying, well, they get 5 days off. Why, instead of that guy saying, why don't we all fight to get 5 days off? He's saying, I don't get the 5 days off. I've never used it. I've never been sick. I hope he never does get sick. But instead of saying, why can't I have that too? He says, let's take that away from him. So that divide and conquer mentality, especially between public and private workers, has really, I mean, we're not, as workers, we're not fighting for ourselves. So I see it as we need to band together and want better conditions and want safer working conditions. But
We're running out of time. I want to give Leanne a chance to respond, and we've got some more callers I'd like to get in before the top of the hour, but thanks for giving your perspective on this. Want to respond to any of the things that Casey had to say, Leanne?
Well, I mean, I think that if this is an issue that rings true for you, and then, you know, that really needs to guide your choice in presidential candidate picks, you know, governor picks, state legislature picks, you know, talk about it, ask about it, you know, where do our legislators stand on the issue of sick leave?
Well, and we haven't even really gotten to catastrophic leave. I mean, you know, let's say that you get some very serious disease and you have to be hospitalized for a time, or you have to undergo a series of treatments. You can work off and on, but maybe not as much as you used to. The most likely thing that's going to happen is as soon as you announce that you have, say, a cancer diagnosis, you'll get fired, isn't it?
Well, so that's kind of where the Family and Medical Leave Act kicks in again. So, it's unpaid leave, but it is job-protected leave in the time of extended illness, so up to 12 weeks. So, you know, if this is an issue beyond 12 weeks, then, yes, you know, you're in some pretty serious consequences probably, but you can take it for longer periods of time. It's just not meant to be used a day at a time. You know, it's not sick leave. It's long-term, you know, extended illness periods, and it's unpaid.
Let's try and get one more call in here. David is with us in Madison, and we're almost wrong David. Well, let's take David in Sturgeon Bay then quickly, and we're almost out of time.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Comments are very brief. I taught business English in Germany for a few years, and I taught both professionals and students aspiring to enter the business world. And the look of glassy, you know, they were flabbergasted when I explained how we don't have any sort of centralized government controls over these things. They're like, sick. Why would you go to work?
Yeah, David, we got to run. Thanks so much. Leanne, final thoughts? So we're about 30 seconds from being done here.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a cultural phenomenon. It's a very American thing to go to work when you're sick.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Leanne Durenier, professor of social work at Florida Atlantic University, really appreciated your time this afternoon and your insights. Coming up tomorrow, according to a new report, 42% of households across Wisconsin struggled to afford basic household necessities in 2014. We're going to talk with the authors of the report and figure out what it means for the future of the state's economy. This program is produced by Scotty Myers and KP Whaley. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR.